Bhagavad Lila, 10th Canto, Chapter 70, Sri Krishna's Daily Activities. At dawn, the queens of Madhava, each embraced around the neck by her husband, they would curse the crowing of the roosters. The ladies were disturbed that now they would be separated from Krishna. This chapter describes Krishna's early morning activities in Dwarka, and the business presented to him in the Sudharma assembly house by Narada and a messenger. Queens like Rukmini cursed the crowing roosters, for announcing the arrival of the sun, which brings separation from our beloved Krishna. You should die immediately. Awakened by the fragrant breezes, the bees started singing, and the buzzing of the bees woke up the birds. And Krishna then woke up from hearing the sweet chirping of these birds, which sounded like bards, which means wandering minstrels or poets. Because of losing the loving embrace of her husband, Rukmini, who's also known as Vaidarbhi, did not consider the Brahma Muhurta period to be auspicious, although generally it's thought to be. Rukmini's shows the attitude of all the queens, because Krishna would rise during the Brahma Muhurta hour. As other persons meditate during Brahma Muhurta period, Krishna also meditated on himself as the one Supreme Lord who reveals himself beyond the darkness of nature. But it may be objected that others, such as Sankarshan, are also the Lord. Yes, but there is no other Ananyam avatar compared to Krishna. Since Krishna's plenary avatars, such as Sankarshan, or Natashesh, and others, are individually and eternally present within him, Krishna is perfectly complete. Krishna appears in this world is simply out of his mercy by making himself directly visible to all persons. Krishna's super excellence is described in this verse. By Krishna's energies, he bestows knowledge and devotion, and he creates and destroys the universe. Lakshita Bhava Nivritam in verse 5. Lakshita Bhava Nivritam means that Krishna gives pleasure to the created beings through his various energies. For devotees, Krishna gives happiness by filling his devotees with ecstatic love, Krishna Prema. For the followers of Dharma, who carefully observe religious principles, Krishna gives happiness. To the sinful, Krishna gives happiness by killing them and granting them liberation. Krishna executed an entire sequence of rituals, Kriya Kalapam. After expertly performing all the Sandhya rites, Krishna silently chanted the Brahma Gayatri, Om Bhur Bhuvaksaha Tat Savito Varanyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimihi. Every day, Krishna worshipped the rising sun and propitiated the demigods, sages, and forefathers, who are all Krishna's expansions. The self-possessed Lord Sri Krishna would then carefully worship his elders and the brahmanas. He offered the brahmins herds of tame and peaceful cows with gold-plated horns and pearl necklaces. The cows were dressed in fine cloth, and the fronts of their hooves were plated with silver. Providers of abundant milk, each cow had given birth only once, and they were accompanied by their calves. And daily, Krishna gave 13,084 cows to the pandits, along with linen cloth, deer skins, and sesame seeds. Krishna executed his daily activities and duties with great self-control. Every day, Krishna donated 107 groups of 13,000 cows, totaling 1,400,000 cows, along with firstborn calves, to the brahmanas. Well, that's a lot of cows. Every day he was giving 1.5 million cows to the brahmanas. Significant point here is that He was giving sesame seeds, til. This is one of the most recommended articles of charity to be given during or after concluding any fasting or brat, along with some lakshmi. Sesame seeds are very much stressed. Magh Mas Brat and Kartik Brat and Chaturmasya Brat and so many Ekadasi Brats. Breaking the Brat or the day of the Brat, or like a Makar Sankranti, January 14th, the day Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and Magh Mas, January 14th. It's recommended to distribute gore mixed with sesame seeds to the Brahmins, or just sesame seeds to the Brahmins. Seeds are a very interesting food item. It's considered in the Puranas that the sesame seeds, these are the sweat drops of Lord Vishnu, the perspiration of Lord Vishnu. When some drops of his perspiration fell on earth and appeared as sesame seeds. Krishna would offer obeisances to the cows, brahmanas and demigods, elders and spiritual masters and all living beings. And he would touch auspicious things. Mangalani samasprishat. Mangalani samasprishat. Auspicious things refers to such objects as a brown cow. Krishna would decorate his body, which is the ornament of human society, with his own special clothing and jewelry, and with divine flower garlands and ointments. Then Krishna would look at his reflection in ghee, a mirror. He would look at the cows and bulls, the Brahmins, and he would see that all the members of the social classes living in the palace and throughout the city were satisfied with gifts. And then he would greet his ministers, distribute flower garlands, paan and sandalwood paste to the brahmanas. He would also give these gifts to his friends, ministers, wives, and finally he would partake of them himself. After distributing all these wonderful items to others, Krishna would accept them for his own pleasure. Krishna's chariot driver, Daruka, would bring his wonderful chariot with Sugriv and other horses. Holding on to his charioteer's hands, Krishna would mount the chariot together with Satyaki and Uddhav. Daruka stood beside the chariot with joined palms, folded in submission as a surrendered servant of the Lord. Krishna held his joined palms with his right hand and mounted the chariot. The women of the palaces of Dwarka would look upon Dwarkadish with shy, loving glances, and thus he would get free from them only with difficulty. He would then set off the queens, his smiling face captivating their minds. Even though Krishna was accompanied by Satyaki and Uddhava and others, the queens still glanced at Krishna with shy, loving glances, hinting at their agitation. Their glances implied, how can we tolerate the torment of being separated from you? Captivated by their affection, Krishna smiled, indicating, my dear restless ladies, why are you so overwhelmed by this little bit of separation? I am coming back later today to enjoy with you. Enchanting their minds with a sweet smile, Krishna somehow freed himself from the bondage of their loving glances with great difficulty. When Krishna would exit separately from each of his many palaces, each individual form of the 16,100 would be visible to the persons present on those particular palace grounds and to the neighboring residents, but not to others. Coming along the main road up to the entrance of the Sudharma Assembly Hall, all these thousands of forms of Krishna would merge into a single form, and thus one Krishna would enter the Sudharma Assembly House surrounded by the Brishnis. And he would seat himself on a very exalted throne there, illuminating the whole area. And then Krishna was entertained by separate groups of jesters, dancers, and magicians. They performed one after another for Krishna's pleasure in the assembly of great kings. Groups danced and sang, poets offered praises, brahmanas recited Vedic mantras, and expert speakers told stories of pious kings. Then one day, a minister came to report how many kings were suffering because Jarasandha had imprisoned them. 20,000 kings who refused to submit to Jarasandha during his world conquest had been forcibly imprisoned in a fortress named Giribraja. They didn't pay any taxes, so they got arrested. Mahabharata explains that Jarasandha was collecting all these kings because he wanted to please Mahabhairava by offering him 100,000 kings in a human sacrifice. The kings took shelter of Krishna by uttering Krishna, Krishna, twice out of respect. We do not understand your true form. We know you are the protector of those who surrender unto you, and therefore we surrender. Due to having a separate interest from you, however, we desire deliverance from our misery instead of praying for devotion to you. Persons like us who are inattentive to activities for our own benefit, does this mean pious works? No. It means those actions suggested by you, my Lord. Does it mean the activities of mind and sense control and the major and minor regulative principles which lead to advancement in Gyan Yoga? No. We are inattentive to your worship, which is the real treasure of everyone. Such worship of you, my Lord, relieves one of material miseries and bestows the transcendental pleasure of your love. Instead of doing this, we are engaged in vikarma, unlawful acts, which produce material happiness from wives and children. Such unfortunate souls as us never achieve any real happiness because you appear as invincible time to suddenly shatter our hopes for long life. It is proper that we, who are not your devotees, offer respects to you in your form as time. It is greatly astonishing to us why someone like Jarasandha, who hates you and your devotees, is not destroyed. O Lord of the universe, you have descended along with your elder brother Balaram to protect the pious and destroy the evil. However, some wicked persons, like Jarasandha, surpass your law, persecute the devotees, and protect the wicked. You have appeared to destroy all evil men. Even though you have come, they are happy and prosperous due to their past pious acts. Is this why? And though you come to protect your devotees, are they suffering now due to their past misdeeds? We cannot understand this. It should not be that the mundane law of karma should be more powerful than you. Then Krishna replied, O kings, based on what you've said, are you my devotees or are you my enemies? The king said, we are neither. We are actually conditioned souls, engulfed in the material world, and we have now surrendered unto you. The happiness which we derive from thinking ourselves kings is dependent on our ministers, friends, and troops. Such pleasures temporary like a dream. We are carrying a great burden from our intense endeavors at alliance and war with our corpse-like bodies that are filled with constant fear. Alas, how miserable we are because of not becoming free from material desires by taking shelter of you. We gave up that happiness which is forever praised by all saintly persons and not condemned by them like our kingly happiness. Spiritual happiness is innate within the self and not dependent on others. Such transcendental joy comes from you alone, not from gross material objects. That bliss is obtained by your selfless devotees, akinchana bhakta, but not by those who are full of lust. Abandoning that happiness, we wretched persons experience intense suffering. The kings continue, please, please free us from the bondage of karma in the form of Jarasandha. And of Krishna replies, but you can get out of this bondage of Jarasandha by yourselves. The kings say, having the power of 10,000 maddened elephants, Jarasandha alone has imprisoned all of us kings as a lion catches sheep. O wielder of the disc, Udatta Chakra Bhagno, your enemy Jarasandha, knowing that we have surrendered to you, now persecutes us even more day by day. O you who hold the Sudarshan Chakra high, in the 18 battles Jarasandha fought with you, he was defeated 17 times. Only once he defeated you, who were absorbed in playing within the world of human beings. Then Jarasandha swelled with pride and began persecuting us who are your subjects. Therefore, please do the needful in this matter. So the messenger wound up his message from the imprisoned kings. Suddenly Narada appeared and accepted a seat of honor amongst everyone. And Krishna glorified him by saying that everyone has become free from fear by your darshan, Narada. So Krishna is inquiring from Narada, since you're traveling everywhere, you know what's happening. Please tell us what the Pandavas are desiring to do and how Jarasandha can be killed by Bhima. Narada ji said, by your own maya you bewilder the three worlds. So it's not astonishing that you're asking about the fearlessness of the people there. I have seen many times your insurmountable maya by which you bewilder even Brahma. You are present within all created beings as the indwelling controller by your potencies of maya and your form as Paramatma. I have come this time out of eagerness to see you covering up your omniscience in your human-like pastimes. Who can understand the intention of you, my Lord, who sometimes create and destroy the universe, which gets its life from you residing within it as Paramatma? I offer my respects to your unique nature. It's completely inconceivable to me. My Lord, I surrender unto you. People in the world are bewildered by your maya and afflicted by fear. But so many people have become fearless by hearing and chanting about your glories. Regarding Krishna's inquiry about the intentions of the Pandavas, in text 40, Narada said, even though you know everything already, I will tell, since you are imitating the characteristics of ordinary human beings. So then Narada explains how Yudhisthira plans a Rajasa Yajna. Narada advises that he go there and take part directly, and then Krishna may counter, for what purpose, why should I go there? What will people achieve in Hastinapur by seeing me? And he speaks 43. Narada says, even the outcasts become purified by hearing and chanting your glories. What to speak of seeing you, who are the concentrated form of the Absolute Truth, Brahmaganamurti. Krishna asks, O Naradaji, why are they so eager to see me in Hastinapur, the Pandavas? Narada replies, your fame, which is spread throughout heaven and earth and the subterranean region like a canopy decorating the universal directions, purifies the whole universe. In the same way, the water which emanates from your feet sanctifies the universe. They desire to see you because their minds have been purified. When the Yadavas objected to this proposal of Narada, because they wanted to defeat Jarasandha, Krishna turned to his servant Uddhava and, smiling, addressed him with fine words. The assembled Yadavas were not interested in Narada's proposal because they were intent on conquering Jarasandha. Krishna used skillful words to impress upon Uddhava his own desires in this matter. Krishna smiled because he was about to demonstrate Uddhava's brilliant ability to give counsel in difficult situations. Krishna said to Uddhava, Uddhava, you are our best eye and closest friend. for you know perfectly the relative value of various kinds of counsel. Therefore, please tell us what should be done in this situation. We trust your judgment and shall do as you say. Although Krishna is omniscient, he was acting as if perplexed. In responding to his lila, Uddhava took this order of Krishna upon his head and replied as follows. And that will be told in chapter 71.